Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. You want to have some fun?
Yeah, we're going to have fun.
Okay, are you ready? Sing along now. My name is Stanley Bookman, and I come from the world of ink. I live in a town called Storyville that's closer than you think. Just hop online and you will find my online world of fun. There's stories, poems, and features on everything under the sun. Just type in Stories for Children magazine at .org to the end. Come join me in reading adventures, we're sure to become good friends. So come to the world of ink with me, we'll share a story or two. We'll go all over the world, you'll see, we'll have fun the whole day through. Follow me to the world of ink.
Welcome to the show, everybody. This is Stories for Children and with host V.S. Grenier. And we usually have our co-host with us, Chris Christofferson, but it seems she ended up with a sick child today. So hopefully she'll be able to join us later. If not, well, hopefully we just wish her well and that her children get healthy soon, because we all know it's like being parents with sick kids. It's not easy. Just a few things really quick before we jump into our guest today. As you all know, Friday we had our first show, SSC Magazine News, and I announced that the relaunch issue for April 2000 would be up on 2011. God, I remember that. Would be up on the website and today, and of course, over the weekend we had technical difficulties, and so you can see the beautiful cover, and you can see the titles and who the writers are on the website, but unfortunately the download part of the magazine, so you can purchase it and download it and read it on your different mobile devices and on your computer, is not working. So I am currently in the process of trying to get that figured out and fixed. So I'm hoping by sometime today or first thing tomorrow it will be fixed at the storiesforchildrenmagazine.org website. So please bear with us. I'm really sorry, everybody. It's not the way to how I wanted to start our relaunch issue after being gone for a year, but I guess technology had different plans for my relaunch that I didn't plan. So that's kind of what's going on with that. Another really quick announcement is Matt Cunningham. He used to also be one of our co-hosts on the show Stories for Children. Is still currently in production and is also just found he's going to be a new daddy. So he's going to be taking a hiatus for a while as a host. So it'll just be me and Chris for quite a few months before Matt's able to rejoin us. So we wish him well and look forward to when he's able to rejoin us. And it's always exciting to have a new little one coming into your life, which is actually a really great way to introduce our three guests. All three guests actually have are a part of our World of Ink tour. They are all collaborated on the book that we're going to be talking about today, which is I Love You, Be Careful. Okay, make sure I got the title right. I'm sorry, it's one of those days. I'm like, got all these things going on. The two co-authors are Judy Snyder and Joan Dickow, and then their illustrator, Katie Driver. So we're excited to have all three of you on the show. I've had two authors on the show, but never two authors and illustrators. So this is going to be a fun show today. So thank you, ladies, for taking some time out of your day to be on Stories for Children with me. How
sure,
you all doing?
Good. How are you doing?
Again, thanks for having us.
Thank you. I'm glad to have you all here. Now, your book is I absolutely loved it. I mean, I was lucky to actually work on doing the book trailer for you guys, and then, of course, setting up your World of Ink tour that you're doing with SSC. And I read the book with both my girls, and I love the fact that it shows the different stages of life from beginning to, well, I don't want to say end because there's no death in the book, but, you know, how it comes full circle from birth to that person growing up and then them having a child. So I'm just kind of curious, Judy and Joan, I mean, because you guys are the authors, what inspired you guys to do a picture book like this? It's actually a gift picture book, which is makes it even better, too, because it's something something you can give as a gift for Mother's Day or as a wedding present or, you know, for any type of milestone, I guess, in anybody's life. So I'm just kind of curious what made you guys decide to collaborate on this kind of an idea.
Well, we really talk, wouldn't you say, Joan, we talk about every day.
We talk a lot, yes.
We talk
about everything from family to life to everything. Uh-huh.
And
I think that's what really kind of inspired us to write this book was Judy and I would talk about our family and our husbands and how much we care about them. And now that our kids are getting older, how much we love our grandkids and how we would say to our husbands when they left to go to work or to our kids, you know, I love you, be careful. And that kind of said, you know, started the idea and the process of thinking, how about we, you know, put our ideas down on paper. Right, Judy?
I think it was your husband. I think it was your husband one day was leaving, and you got up to kiss him goodbye and say goodbye, and I heard you, I think, say be careful. And we both said, oh, we say that so much in life all the time, be careful of this, be careful of that. And, of course, my grown sons are probably saying, oh, no, she's saying be careful again. and I think that you know, and Katie can speak to her end, too, about, you know, when she heard about that, if she relates to that.
Yeah, it's really funny because when my mom was reading the book and then my dad read the book and he's like, oh, people don't say that. And then not 10 minutes later, she walked out the door and he said, I love you, be careful. And he said, and she was like, see, people do say that. And she was cracking up.
That's so cute. And what I loved about the book, too, is when you're looking at the different pages, and I don't know, maybe this is something that that Katie did versus, you know, you guys asking her to do, but on every page, I mean, I know that, you know, there's a bunny on every page, but there's also, if you actually really look at the illustrations, and it's not always in the, you know, it's obviously in the text, I love you, be careful, but in the picture, it can be anywhere, like on a flag, it could be like the heart, I think one of them was like hearts or something that kind of spelled out, you know, either I love you or be careful, like it'd be in different spots. There's like one spot where the little girl was, in the illustration, she was, I don't know if she was doing hopscotch or she was drawing with the sidewalk chalk, but in sidewalk chalk, it had that written in the picture. So was that something that you guys asked Katie to do, or was that something that you just naturally did being an illustrator to add to just the whole impact of the book?
We
I think that was
Judy's
idea,
that,
right?
It was our idea, but it's amazing what Katie did with it. The bunny Katie came up with. I thought that was such a cool idea, the bunny. But she came up with how to hide the be careful. It was amazing how she did that. So that was, teamwork.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She ran with it. We just said it would be nice if we had something hidden.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. It was funny because I would get stumped on a certain illustration. I was like, where am I going to hide the I love you or the be careful? And one day my neighbor's little girl was over and she said, for that picture with the sidewalk chalk, she said, why don't you have it written on the sidewalk? And I was like, oh, that's a great idea. So it was funny how different people gave ideas and it kind of just came together really well.
Yeah, it's a beautiful book. And when Judy approached me about first doing the book trailer, for you guys, you know, she told me you guys wanted to have, you know, music that was heartfelt but still uplifting, which, you know, it's really hard to sometimes find instrumental music that sets the right tone in a book that covers, you know, stages in life. So I was really trying to find one that I felt that matched with it. And I can't even tell you when I was putting it together and the book's very moving anyways, just watching the little girl grow up. On each page, you know, through the illustrations and just, you know, the wording. But when I put the music to it and started putting the illustrations that you had done, Katie, with everything, and then, of course, you know, the statements you guys had sent, you know, about your blurbs on the book and then, of course, adding the reviews, I told you, I even started getting choked up a little bit because it is a very impacting, you know, with such... There's not a lot of text, but between just the subtle text and the illustrations and what's happening, I mean, it really does move you, and it moves you in a good way. You know, for adults, you look at it and you either reflect on watching your children grow up or you reflect on remembering yourself growing up as a kid. And, of course, for kids, I mean, my daughter's getting a kick watching, you know, the little girl grow up and she got to the college park and her brother, you know, was turning 15 this year. And she looked at me, she goes, oh, Dominic's going to be graduating soon. She's like, is that what it's going to be like at graduation? And then, you know, I have a sister who just was married a couple of years ago and we got to the wedding pitch, you know, to the wedding spread. She looked at that and she's like, oh, that's like Alexander and Alden. So it definitely, I think, appeals to young and old. And I don't know, was that the original goal? Were you guys looking at it to be more of a gift book for adults that was just in a picture book type format? Or was the goal really to actually appeal to both young and old?
I think you can speak to this, Joan, when we started doing it. I really think it was a gift book for adults, but it morphed, and I think part of it was with Katie's drawings, but it morphed into for all ages. Although, you know, again, many new moms and new brides get it as gifts because it just fits. But I think, Katie, I think you were the first one that said to me, my daughter really liked it because, and I remember saying, it's for kids too? And it kind of evolved into that. What do you think, guys?
Yeah, it kind of did.
I agree.
I know my youngest daughter just loves to look through it, and it has kind of elements of all my kids growing up in it too. It's kind of universal because it's all those universal mother moments and parents moments that kind of tug at your heartstrings. But I remember Judy telling me very specifically that she wanted Be Careful moments, but she didn't want them to be scary Be Careful moments. She wanted it to be lighthearted and just those, you know, sweet Be Careful moments of life. So we really made an effort to it not to be too serious, but to still have a lot of heart and love in it, you know?
Yeah, and you guys really did a great job on that. And, I mean, I've only done one book so far that's been published, and it was only me and, of course, you know, the editor and then my illustrator. But, I mean, for you guys, you had a team of three working on this. So the fact that you guys were also able to come, you know, it sounds like easily to an agreement on what you all saw for the book is amazing. Because, I mean, it is hard to collaborate on a book. And the fact that, you know, you guys just all seem to be on the same page, which I think really helped the book be such an impacting book as well. So, you know, good job, you guys, on that.
Thank you. I agree, but I have to say, you know, it was great working with Judy. But the thing with Katie not knowing her or whatever it is, oh, she was just so great that if we said, well, maybe this a little different or something like that, she was just the best illustrator to work with. She would come back with an idea or something. No, I really mean that. And, you know, it was you began seeing things like we wanted it to be or other people to see it as. And that's a compliment to you because you did a fabulous job.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
Well, thank you. Well, you guys are great to work with, too.
No, I'm just curious. Have you guys thought about doing a second book, you know, kind of making this like a series of gift books on some other different topics at all, or haven't really thought about that?
I hadn't at this point, but Joan and Katie?
Well, I'm thinking of another book, and, you know, it's in the head and kind of on paper and stuff, and it's going to be called The Porch Fairy, and which will be dedicated towards my granddaughter, Caroline.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I can say.
Are either one of you guys working on
and that's
a
it,
different
yes.
project? Are either one of you guys working on a different project, you know, since this book is now done, that you want to share a little bit about? Or?
I'm currently working on a book about adoption. It's called The Gift by Bridget Knaus, and it's, they adopted their first son, and they really wanted to let him know that he was a gift from God and that they waited so long for him. And so it's really, it's more of a portrait-style book. It's going to be different in the illustration style. But I think it's going to really appeal to parents who have adopted and children that are in adoptive situations or foster children even. It's really a sweet book. So that's supposed to be coming out this next summer.
That's a great book, Katie. And then, how about you, Judy? Are you working on anything?
Well, actually, I'm going over a couple things. We have another sister, Mary, and I'm working with her and a wonderful woman, who actually a children's author in also in Chicago, Marcia Cook, and we're working on some script sort of things and with her. And I'm getting out my old manuscripts and revising them. I have a stack of manuscripts that I've just let sit for years. And I'm going to go back and look at them and maybe submit some of those. But no new I have to think of a new project. I haven't thought of a new type of children's book like Joan has and Katie right now.
Yeah, trust me, I know how that goes. And I'm like you, Judy. I have quite a few manuscripts that I've worked on that are sitting there waiting for me to. They've done some revisions on, but they need more revisions. And I'm like, I really need to get to these, but I get so busy with other things, you know, because we all have other things going on in our lives that they sit there.
Yes, so that's exactly. I have my box of them I need to get back to.
Yeah. Now, I was going to ask you guys. See, I'm by myself. I'm lone wolf, so, and I'm so not into scripting out what I'm going to say next because I just feel like it's still so rigid. And so since I have Chris here, I'm like, oh, I don't have somebody else to bounce my questions off or to, like, spark my idea. Like, oh, here's a one, or here's that, or this can lead into to that. So I'm like, let me think. Oh, I know, this is so bad. So you guys are doing your World of Ink tour. You know, Judy had contacted me to do that, and that actually started Friday last week. Let's talk about that a little bit so our listeners will know about that. It started last week where we did an author spotlight on you guys, and I think let me flip my notes over because I actually have my notes in front of me. I have two tours going on. I have yours and another author, so I want to make sure I don't confuse who's doing what because that'd be really bad. So Friday we had on the Family Matters blog at Blogspot with Terry Forehand, our editor there. She posted an interview, which was with Judy. And then we also had our author spotlight. And then, of course, today we have the radio show with you guys today. And then over at Book Marketing Network, they are actually doing an author spotlight on you guys. And then tomorrow, which have so much going on tomorrow. Tomorrow at the Stories from Magazine website, we have our little featured guest interview section that's part of the website. And even though we have a featured guest that's in the Stories from Magazine issue itself, with Janet Hoffman, we also have our World of Ink tour guests who have interviews. So we'll actually, and I just got Katie's interview questions back. So
great.
So I'll have you guys as the authors interview questions, and I'll and we'll be putting in Katie's questions in as well, so which will, you know, make it really nice. So at storiesforchildrenmagazine.org, those who are listening, you can go and read the interview that Chris and I did with the three of you guys. So that's what's going on. And then also at storiesforchildrenpublishing.com, we have a tab, which is the World of Ink tab, and that has your guys' tour page. So those who want to follow the tour can go there and see every day we're going to be, because all month long we're going to be touring. You guys are going to be toured with different World of Ink hosts. So you guys will be with your book's getting reviewed with some book reviewers, and it's getting reviewed with some mommy bloggers, and of course, you know, some of the Stories for Children book review staff, and then even some of the editorial staff have also asked you guys for some guest posts about writing, and then interview questions. So that's kind of what's going on there. Now, is this the first time any of you guys have ever done a tour, or have you guys done a tour in the past, but maybe like a different one versus a virtual one, since I know virtual tours are just now starting to get more popular?
Well, before this book, Virginia, I came out with a book called Goldie's Baby Socks in English and Spanish, and then a group of women, we did a book called The Sacred Purse. And so with those, I did some, never a virtual tour. That's why this is very exciting. I did like Borders or Barnes & Noble, some actual book signings. And this is just a very unique, interesting way to do it this way, you know, combined with your trailer, which I love. I keep playing over that you did on the book. But so, no, I've never done one. I don't know if Katie has or... You know, I don't.
I have never. Joan. Yeah. This is Joan. No, this is my first of everything, practically.
Yeah, I've never done one either. This is actually my first book that's been published. I have illustrated another children's book, but it's not published yet. So this is new and exciting. I'm very excited.
Well, I'm excited. I mean, this is, you know, it's fun. I've done two virtual tours, and I've always really enjoyed them because, which I'm sure you guys know, it's hard to get out, and especially, you know, sometimes you can only get to local areas, you know, so many miles from your home. And so that's one thing that's so nice about a virtual tour, and, you know, why we've also added the radio show to the World of Ink tours. So people can listen to you guys and get to know you better, get to know about your book better. You know, you get to reach readers and fans that you don't normally get to reach. So I think it's amazing what the internet, you know, has done, and it's a great thing. And, oh, I think somebody has a question for you guys or wants to input, so let me bring them on. Hold on. Caller 240965, did you have a question or a comment?
Yes, I do. How does it feel to be a first-time author?
What was that one more time?
Be a first-time published author.
How does it feel to be a first-time published author?
Yes, the
this
lady
is Joan speaking. It's
yes, Joan.
It's exciting. It's interesting. I'm learning lots from it. And this is my first time, and I think Judy mentioned, you know, she's been published. This would be your third time, I believe, Judy. But for me, for my first time, it's very exciting, and I'm learning a lot.
So what have you learned? I write a writer's column for a magazine. I also review for Amazon.com. So my name is Ben Pomerantz. And I was wondering, what have you learned as a first-time writer?
I think what I've learned is that how hard it is to write, how to get your ideas down on paper and try to explain them and your thoughts. I've learned that, you know, there's a lot of steps that goes through the process. It's not just a matter of saying I'm going to write a book and tomorrow it's done and you're selling it on Amazon. I think finding the right illustrator, the right ideas, the right marketing tools, the right person to work with, which was my sister Judy. You know, and that's what I've learned. I've learned that, you know, nothing comes easy. It's hard. But the finished product, when your family sees it or friends or you see it out there, it's a rewarding feeling. It's a nice feeling to know that you've accomplished something and you feel good about yourself.
What do you think about the Nook or the Kindle or other e-readers that are trying to reprint beautiful artistic books like yours and others and putting in that small mini screen, if you know what I'm saying?
I know the Kindle. I don't own one, and I've always read my stories, you know, to my kids and my grandchildren, you know, on regular hardcover books or paperbacks. I'd like to think that the Kindle would help someone who doesn't have access to certain things or books in libraries, or they're out far, you know, in an area that may not have, you know, they can't get books other ways or afford them. So I really can't say anything negative about it because I really don't know that much about it myself.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, the Kindle and just the different mobile devices. I mean, I have a smartphone, so I can get my e-books, you know, on my phone as well. And you know, because I know myself and a few people at Stories for Children, we talk a lot about this because we're working on getting the Stories for Children magazine up into the Apple, you know, into their iStore. So I think it's an important tool. It's definitely changing the way the publishing industry is. I still think that there's many of us, and maybe it's just because we grew up with having the book in hand, but I'm seeing it with I have a 5-year-old and I have a 14-month-old, but they still like this on my lap, and when I get e-books to review and stuff and read them on the computer with me. However, they still prefer to curl up on the couch or in bed with mommy and hold the book and turn the page. So even though I think the younger generation is going to become normal to have an e-reader or, you know, some type of mobile device in their hand to read a book, I still think that even with them, they're going to gravitate, at least as younger kids, still to that, you know, hard-bound, you know, paperback book in their hand, just because.
So you don't think books are going to be obsolete, like some people have said?
No, I don't think so. I think they're still going to There will always be, I think, to some degree, some place. I mean, if you think about it, you can still go find a vinyl record. I mean, is it as common? No. I mean, are the new artists doing vinyl records? No. But I think if a book becomes a classic, I think to some degree, I think we'll still see it in print. And I think that's what will be the dynamic difference between a print and a digital book is, you know, like Harry Potter, you know, you think of, gosh, I'm trying to think of some other, my brain's going, you know, my son's reading the bar.
Didn't mean to scare you with this.
No, the barcode tattoo. No, I'm just trying to think of some books off the top of my head. I think there's just some books that are going to that are going to become classic. Like a lot of the New York bestseller books, I think if they start, you know, becoming those classical, you know, iconic type books, I think those will stay, you know, in both formats. I think what's going to happen is if you're a new author, this is just my opinion, but I think as a new author, I think publishers will be more out to try you out digitally and see how you are as an ebook in a digital format. And if it does well, then maybe roll you out into print for those, you know, those people who are still into holding that book. Because I don't think that's ever going to 100% go away. I don't. I have a hard time. I don't think we'll ever be 100% paperless. I know people think that. I've been hearing that for over 10 years. That, oh, we're going paperless. Well, it's, you know, been over 10 years, we're still not paperless. So I don't see it ever being 100% paperless. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe like in 2050 or something, maybe it will happen. But at least not, I don't see it in my kids' lifetime. I definitely don't see it in my lifetime. It'll be a very long ways away if that does ever happen. It's not going to be an instantaneous thing. But, you know, great question. Thanks for asking.
Thank you.
All right. Which, you know, makes me want to ask you ladies as well, you know, what was it like when you guys first got I Love You, Be Careful in Your Hands? I mean, I know as a writer, it doesn't matter if it's your first book, your second book, your 100th book. The overall usual response to that is there's nothing like seeing your book the first time in your hands. Did you all feel like that when you saw it for the first time, held it in your hands and saw the cover and kind of saw it all put together?
I did. I think I was literally jumping up and down. I was like, oh, this is so beautiful. I was so excited.
I think I called Judy jumping up and down and said, oh, my gosh, I can't believe it. It's true. It's happened. You know, we talk about things and how we're going to do things, and all of a sudden it's there, you know, and our names are on it. And, you know, and it's a great feeling. It's a proud feeling.
Yeah, no,
Katie, did you find that surreal for me?
I felt when that book came in the mail and I opened it and I just thumbed through the pages and I don't know, it almost felt like it wasn't real. It was very strange.
Yeah, no, what also makes your guys' book, which makes me, I think, love your book more is over a lot of books that I see, and it's not because I don't love traditionally published books, but you guys also didn't have your book done with a traditional publisher. You guys went the non-traditional route and went through self-publishing. And I know a lot of writers out there, they're always afraid that if they self... Hold on, I have my five-year-old. Okay, in a sec. Sorry, that was my five-year-old informing me of information of I need to go to school soon, blah, blah, blah. I love her doing
that. Been there, we know, yeah.
Yeah, I just don't understand you're working, but that's okay. They grow up too soon. But you guys actually self-published your book, and my book was done that way. You know, it's a print-on-demand self-book that's also with a self-publisher. And I know a lot of people still think very taboo, but it seems like I'm seeing more books being self-published. Not all of them are done well, but your guys is done very well. I would not have, if I didn't know who the publisher was, which I do know who Exuberus is, but if I wasn't aware of who they were, I would have automatically thought it was with a traditional publisher because it's very well done. Is that something you would ever do again, or do you think you'd probably go more of the traditional route in publishing? Do you have any... what you see as pros and cons to self-publishing versus traditional publishing or vice versa?
I have been really happy with print on demand. I like it because when the book is ordered, it's sent out.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want you know, and some people choose to have lots of copies on hand and send them out themselves. But with print-on-demand, the nice thing is besides being able to do the book basically the way you want it, and then, you know, we found Katie, who is a wonderful illustrator, through the Society of Children's Book Writers and Illustrators, we were able to do it with this Ex Libris and have it done within, actually, I think it was about a, to actually have it illustrated, was it Katie, about a four-month process, and Joan?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. We worked on it before, but I think to actually make it happen. And so in that sense, I would do it again. I was real pleased with it, the way it turned out. And then, of course, no matter whether it's traditional or print-on-demand, you really have to market your own book. I mean, you have to know even, I think, before you do a book, who you're doing this for, who is your audience, what age do you want this to be for. And again, ours started out as adults, and we found kids liked it. So that was something we learned through this. But I like print-on-demand. I think people have to really research carefully the various print-on-demand companies and pick one that fits for them. You know, really do research into the company, see some of the finished books that they do.
Right.
The first time I did it, I ordered a couple books from them just because I wanted to hold it in my hand and see what the finished product might feel like and look like.
Right.
But that's how I feel. I don't know, Katie and Joan, how you feel.
I think it was a really great experience working with Ex Libris. They were very prompt. They got right back to you. When we picked out all the colors for every page and the cover, there was just a ton to choose from. So I was really, really happy with the finished product. And like you said, you can get it done so quickly. It's mind-boggling. Whereas I think if you went through a traditional publisher, I think it's, you know, probably more than a year before you'd hold that book in your hand, I'm assuming.
Yeah, it can be. It's usually.
And I really didn't know. This is my first experience, and so I let Judy basically guide, you know, me through the process, and I said, let's do it your way, and it worked out perfect.
I have, you know, like I said, being with Stories for Children, publishing and doing the Stories for Children magazine side of it, and you know, we have a lot of, you know, publicists who contact us to work with, you know, like I said, some big, you know, we get stuff from Abram Young Readers to, you know, small, to people who actually did their books, you know, totally self-published them on, like, CreateSpace. So, I mean, I see the whole, you know, gambit of what's out there. You know, I even see, like, the small ebook publishers, like Guardian Angel, who send stuff to us. I mean, I really do see all the different ways books can be published in. I think, especially with so many writers out there, and the big traditional publishers, at least, you know, cutting back on their budgets, not taking risks as much with new talent, that self-publishing and ebook publishing is definitely a way for them to, you know, as authors, to see their books in print. And, you know, it's very true. I mean, a traditional publisher, it can take, if you're lucky, you know, a year, year and a half, if they really push your book. But sometimes, you know, I've talked to authors and it's taken them up to like 3 to 4 years before their books actually hit the shelves.
And I think Virginia, too, people think once you self-publish, that's it. If you know, what do you do then? But you can take your book and you can show it at some of the big book fairs like Book Expo or Frankfurt Book Fair and submit it there to the New Book Showcase. And so actually you can take a self-published book and rights can be bought for many things, whether it be for a movie or whether it be one of our dreams has always been to have our book be a Hallmark book because we like their mm-hmm. line of products and we like their stores and this book kind of fits them. And so you always, even if you're self-published, not that you have to sell the rights, but there's always that possibility if there's an avenue, let's say another good one I really like, Scholastic Book Fairs. I mean, if you want to see it in a book fair, that's a possibility. And
No, and that's a great point that you totally bring up, Judy, because as you're saying that, I'm a huge young adult book reader. I read a lot of young adult fiction, and I fantasy is my biggest genre that I read within that realm. And a perfect example of that is actually the Aragon book. I mean, that book, the author, Christopher, his parents put their house up pretty much on hawk to self-publish that book, and he literally drove to every single book fair going on to market his book. And, you know, he was lucky enough, a publisher came along, and a couple of the editors there saw his book, picked it up, you know, took it, read it, and they looked at each other and said, why don't we ever see this manuscript? This, you know, and they, you know, now all the rest of his books, of course, have been published through them, including Aragon, was republished to them. So it can happen. I mean, my book, Baby Sitting Sugar Paw, just recently was down at the Orange County Book Fair.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I wasn't able to go, but I had, you know, a PR person down there who was representing my book and sold quite a few copies, and so that was a good thing, and had a lot of teachers who were interested in it, and school librarians who thought it was perfect for, you know, to put in their, obviously, on their bookshelves. So, I mean, there's a lot of possibilities, so I definitely agree, and I think that no one should ever, you know, snub the fact if a book is self-published, because, you know, like I said, you never know it with your book. It looks just amazing. So a few more questions, because my time is running out, and I'm going to have to go and take my daughter to school. They moved it up on me by a half hour, because they have teacher conferences going on. So I'm just kind of curious. Now, I know, Judy, you have three books. You know, you have the I Love You, Be Careful, the Goldie's Baby Fox, and was it Sacred Purse? Is that the name of it?
Yes, the Sacred Purse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Sacred Purse. Now, I know you've done some book signings with the Goldie's Baby Fox and the Sacred Purse. Are you planning any book signings for I Love You, Be Careful, or do you have any upcoming events that you might want to share with any of our listeners?
Well, actually, we don't have any schedule right now, but I would say our push that we've been talking about is really for Mother's and Father's Day. So one of the things we're doing now is contacting some of the stores and asking, could they please put it on their Mother's or Father's Day display table? And sometimes they might say yes, and sometimes they might say no. But that's I would say one of our pushes now is to get it ready for Mother's and Father's Day, and also weddings in June. I always kind of stereotype, but weddings in June, you know, it's a great bride gift. And so would you guys agree with that? Is that the push that you guys are doing, Katie and Jill?
That's what we had talked about. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that pretty much sums it up.
Yeah. Now, are any of you guys planning on doing any type of school visits or anything like that? I mean, I know with Katie and Joan, I mean, for you guys, this is pretty much would be your first kind of book that you could use as a catalyst into doing school visits. I mean, with you, Judy, you have your other picture book, Goldie's Baby Socks. So are you guys going to try and do any school visits and share writing and reading with some of the younger generation out there? Or right now you guys are just going to try and focus on marketing for basically Mother's Day and, you know, weddings in June and that kind of thing?
I think that's what we're really going to do. Judy and I spoke about it, you know, and checking out in the area that I'm in. I'm Berkeley, Michigan. And we said, let's get through the Mother's Day, Father's Day's wedding, and, you know, and then we, you know, hopefully Judy's coming up to Michigan, and we're going to spend a few days going over some of our ideas and where we could go and who we could talk to and things like that.
Okay.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't have a lot of time to do a lot of marketing. I've kind of left that up to Judy and Joan, and they've done a great job. They've taken it and run, so.
Okay, now, you also have a website for I Love You, Be Careful, which is obviously ilovebecareful, and it's .com, right?
Yes, and it has the trailer you did on it, and I guess I want to point that out. It's under the links section. And,
mm-hmm.
and I'm really pushing that, but I keep watching it over because I really like the trailer that you did on the book.
And I have to say,
that is on the website.
Since this is the first time I've spoken to you, Virginia, you know, again, I have to say it's a fabulous trailer. You put the music and the words and everything together, and it is. Judy's right with the music and the pictures and it all together. We all go back and watch it. We have our grandkids watch it, and we hope lots of people will watch it.
Well,
our grandkids are our biggest, probably our biggest fans or our critics.
My
3-year-old is very happy with the book, but she gets more excited when she sees Aunt Judy's picture on the back. It's not Grandma Joan. It's Aunt Judy's pictures on the back. So.
Yeah, my daughter does that too when she sees either my book trailer or when she sees my picture up like on a website or when she gets up my book and has a return. She gets me and she goes, "There's Mommy." I'm like, I'm so glad you're excited about mommy. That's great, but we need to focus on other things besides just mommy. We need to focus on, you know, other marketing things like the magazine or mommy's book. But yeah, no, it's funny how little kids do that. They get excited when they see somebody. They know, oh, I know that person. So, but yeah, so it's ilovyoubecareful.com. If you guys want to learn more about the author and the authors and the illustrator. You can see their book trailer there. You can also see their book trailer on the Stories for Children, all one word, channel at YouTube. And it's also at storiesforchildrenmagazine.org. Under this, we have a feature trailer section where we add the book trailers of Our World of Ink guests. And then we also add, if you're a fan of the Family Matters blog at blogspot.com, you can see it under that feature trailer tab as well. So we have it in a few places, and we're going to actually, which is one thing that we're working on this week, we're going to be submitting that book trailer to quite a few other book trailer sites as well to let more readers out there see your guys' book trailer, because it is a great book, and it's a great, you know, it's definitely a great book as a gift, and it has actually a page at the front where you can personalize it as a gift. So definitely think about that. If you want to make your mommy happy, go get that book. It's a great way. It's a great way to sum it all up for everything she's done for you in your life. Let me tell you, my kids obviously can't give it to me because I already have the book in my office. But but if I did, they should give it to me because it does. It sums it all up, and just a few simple words. I love you. Be careful. But it was great having the three of you guys on. Again, those who want to follow your guys' book tour of I Love You, Be Careful, it's at storiesforchildrenpublishing.com under the World of Ink Tour tab. It actually says, I think it says Judy and Joan. Is the, so I put the, you, since you guys are the authors. I know, I'm sorry, Katie. It seems like you illustrators always get shafted. The authors.
Oh, no, we're fine.
And I work with so many illustrators, but I do everything I can to promote them because I'm like, everybody talks about the authors, and it's like, the book wouldn't happen if it wasn't for the artwork, too. But,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Actually, Katie has a plug-in for, she has a great website, too.
Yeah, I was going to say, yes, Katie, please share your website with us because we don't want to shaft you on the show. We do want to help promote you, too.
Yeah, us illustrators are a pretty happy-go-lucky lot, so we're not real picky. But my website is artbykatie.com, and actually your amazing trailer is on my website as well and on my illustrations page, so...
That's great.
Another plug for your trailer.
Yeah, and if there's anybody out there who's writing a book and is thinking about self-publishing, go check out Katie's website. I'm telling you, I fell in love with her illustrations, and I love you, Be Careful. You are amazing.
We did, too. She's
amazing. Yep.
And we don't pay a lot at Stories for Children magazine, but if you ever want to donate some of your talent to us, we'd be more than happy.
I would love to sometime, definitely.
Yes, because we're always looking for illustrators for our pool because we know you guys are busy, and since we don't pay a lot, we like to have a nice big pool so you guys have some free time, you know. And we always like to help promote. We put your guys' bios up. So, and even with you, Judy, and you, Joan, same thing. We love having people submit stuff to us. So, actually, the other author who's on the tour with us has a short story in our April issue, so...
Oh, nice.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
great.
So we don't pay a lot, but we do pay you back in kudos and as much PR as possible. So
wonderful. And thank you again. This tour has been just a very cool idea. I did not realize it before you, so thank you.
No.
And thank you for the kind words about I Love You, Be Careful.
Yes.
Virginia, thank you for saying such the nice things that you did. And again, Katie, thank you for your beautiful drawings. And Judy, I love you. Be careful.
Aww. I love you, too. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye, ladies. So if you guys would like to check out I Love You, Be Careful, you can find it in our storiesforchildrenmagazine.org bookstore. We do have it listed with in our little Amazon e-store that we have there. You can also check out their book trailer. They will also have tomorrow their interview will be up. So you can read more about Judy, Joan, and Katie. And then definitely follow the World of Ink tour, which is at storiesforchildrenpublishing.com under the World of Ink tab. They're three very talented ladies, and it was a delight to have them on our April 2011 tour. So We wish you all well, and thank you for listening to Stories for Children with host via Screenier. Please tune in tomorrow for A Good Story is a Good Story with host Marcia Casper-Cook at 7 p.m. And have a great day, and we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.